Tonight's shiur, Binyanei Yom HaKippurim. There's no Parsha of Shavua this week. It's Mishnah in the end of Yoma, famous Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lifnei Mi Atem Metarim. Happy are you, Yisrael, in front of whom are you Metaher? Are you purifying yourself? Umi Metaher Eschem, and who is doing the purification? Avichem Shem HaShemayim, your God in heaven, your Father in heaven. Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal asked the following question. He says, I can understand that we're happy, that we're mitayer ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, what to be happy about? But what is the second half of the statement, Umi mitayer eschem? Why are we happy when we think about who is being mitayer us? Being mitayer us means we're filthy, dirty with our sins, and we're happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matriach himself to cleanse us. Mashallah, davar domer. Somebody visits a wealthy person's house. Everything's beautiful, nice carpeting and tablecloth. Guy makes a mess. He loses control. He, let's say, vomits on the table and he walks in with his filthy shoes and he dirties the fancy white carpet and makes a big mess. And that alone is enough to cause him busha. But how would he feel if the rich balabais himself, he gets up and he starts cleaning? Can you imagine the extent of such busha? That's bad enough he dirtied everything, but the balabais himself, the wealthy man, is cleaning up after him? Terrible. Make it even worse. Let's say he was at the king's palace and he dirtied it. And the king cleans it, cleans up after him. A terrible busha. So Mela asked Rav Aaron, it's the same thing over here. Why is that? Ashreichem Yisrael, umi metaher eschem. Who is cleansing you? What, we should be happy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cleansing us? We should be embarrassed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cleansing our dirty sins. Possible idea is that the mashal maybe is not precise enough. Okay, rich person, the king, is true. However, what would be if a son was by his father's house and the son was not feeling well ever, he brought up his food and the father he feels bad for his poor son, he runs over and he starts cleaning up. Would the son feel terrible? Not so much. Why? It's his father, Rahman, father who loves him, and he's helping him out, he's helping his sick son out. Different story. Mela, same thing over here. Why are we happy? We're happy. As the Mishnah end, Avichem Sheba Shemayim. It's not the king in this case. It's Avichem, your father in Shemayim. Hashem is the king, but he's also our father. So Mele, we're happy because we're seeing our beloved. We're not embarrassed because our father's cleaning up after us. Mele, as it says, Avichem Sheba Shemayim, that answers the question. So Agav, the same lines. It's a nice vor. It says that pasuk in Tehillim, familiar with Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Hamalcha Meretz Mitzrayim, Harchev Picha VeAmalehu. Say daily this pasuk in Tehillim. He says, "I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, Meretz Mitzrayim. Open up your mouth, and I'll fill it up." So Rashi says, "What does that mean? Open up your mouth and fill it up?" Rashi says, "Lishol kol tavas nafshecha." Whatever you want, whatever you desire, open up your mouth, kechol asher tishal, and I'll fill it up. Whatever you want, I'll give you. So the question is asked, what's the connection in the first half of the pasuk to the second half of the pasuk? The first half of the pasuk is, I'm the God who took you out of Egypt. Fine. Open up your mouth, I'll give you anything you want. What is the fact that because I was Egypt, what does it do with opening up our mouth and he's filling it up for us? What's the connection? The answer is that what do we see by Yetzias Mitzrayim? We see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. Whatever he wants, everything is at his disposal. Ah, Memele, it's very good. If we go up to some poor man or whatever, and this poor guy tells you, ask me whatever you want and we'll see. Maybe I can give it to you. What can you possibly give to me? But somebody who has tremendous means, he has anything and everything at his disposal, And he says, open up your mouth and ask for anything and I'll give you it. Huh, that's a tremendous thing because he can give me whatever I want. He's a kol yachol. Memela, that's what Kosh Baruch Hu is saying over here. Right? I am Hashem who took you out of Egypt, which is where you saw that I can do anything I want. Memela, ask whatever you want and I can, because I can supply it. Says a famous word, say time again, not so much this year on Yom Kippur though, but we say Avinu Malkeinu. So normally, many times. But on Shabbos, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu. But what's the idea? So say a nice vor, that a father would like to give his son whatever he wants. He would love to. He'd like to give his son anything and everything. But what? He doesn't always have the means to do it. He'd love to give him everything, but he can't always do so. A king is the opposite. A king, he has everything at his disposal. He has everything, but he doesn't want to always give whatever you want. You go to the knock on the king's palace, say, can you give me this? Forget it, who are you? Get lost. Right? He can give what he has the power to do whatever he wants, but he doesn't know he's not going to give you. So Mele, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's both. He's Avinu Malkeinu, meaning like we said before, he's Malkeinu, he has everything at his disposal, so he's their king. But not only that, he's also Avinu, he also wants. So he wants to give and he could give. He's both. So therefore, Mele, he's Avinu Malkeinu. Say in the Vidui of Yom Kippur, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, etc., we go through a whole list, through the Aleph base, and also the Al-Chaitz, very detailed in the description of all the various different Chatayim we're asking forgiveness for. So the Ben Ish Chai asked, why is that necessary? Why go into such detail of every single this sin? Why not say in general, Kosh Baruch Hu, we've sinned, forgive us. Why go into every little detail, every little sin? So he says, unbelievable vort. Based on Jonas and Ibishitz, he says something phenomenal, which definitely needs explanation. Says Rav Yonas and Ibishitz, says when a Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes a person for his sins, he says there's two types of people, two types of punishment. One type is Kodesh Baruch Hu punishes a person for his sins, so he should have a kapara, a cleansing for his sins. So he suffers to be cleansed from his sins, and it's in mida kenegamit. Now, whatever he sinned, he gets punished for it. Precise. It says there's others that, because of their sins, Hashem hates them. He despises these people. And as a result, he doesn't punish them exactly for what they did, but rather he says the powers of nature go at the person. He closes his eyes from the person, lets the power of nature do whatever it wants to this person, and it can come out that he can be punished more than his sins. Right? Because he said, whatever happens, just here. Let him close his eyes, whatever happens to you, good luck. And then he can end up suffering more than he even sinned. That's what the Rav Yonas and Ibishitz says. It says the Ben Ish Chai, how could that be? How could it possibly be? Why and how could a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, let a person be punished more than he sinned? Okay, he sinned, but why should he be punished more than he sinned? How, is that fair? And when does Hashem, in fact, punish a person exactly? And when does he leave it up to the powers of nature or whatever? So says the Ben Ish Chai, beautiful. He says, there are people who sin with systematically, with a calculated. In other words, they realize sometimes, the Yetzer Hara got the better of me and I couldn't control myself and I did this one sin, okay, and then they do tshuva for it, know what they did wrong, they tshuva, it's all calculated. So fine, such a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in kind. You sinned, but then, you know, the tshuva, whatever, you ask forgiveness, all very calculated. You know what you did wrong. You couldn't control yourself. You did it. You realize it. And then you do tshuva. So Hashem says, fine. I'll, you know, when you punishment is necessary, I'll give you punishment, but exactly for what you did. Because it was a calculated sin, so a calculated punishment. However, there are those people which don't give a darn. Right, they sin left and right. Do whatever they want, when they want, how they want. Free for all. So such people, Hashem Baruch Hu says, oh, mina keneged mina. you're sinning without any calculation, just free for all, whatever comes your way, you just sin here left and right, you don't know what's coming and going. So Kosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I'm going to punish you the same way. I'm not going to punish you calculated exactly for what you did, because you didn't sin in a calculated way. You sinned randomly. So you sinned randomly, I'll punish you randomly. Whatever happens, happens. Meili says, beautiful. This is why our vidui, we say very carefully every single sin, really Aleph Beis, Hashabnu, Bagadnu, Gazalnu, the Chetz, Al-Chetz, Al-Edav, very calculated. Why? Because we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, Meili, okay, even if we have to be punished, but look, we sinned in a calculated way, not just random. Right? And therefore, we don't just say, Hashem, we sinned, because that was a mashma that we did all kinds, I don't know what we did, how I did it, I just did it. No, because we don't want a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chas V'Shalom, to punish us in a random way. And therefore, we say our avidui very precise to show, look, okay, we sinned, but we did it in a precise manner. So if we need punishment, then at least deal with us like those type of people who sin calculated way, that they punish them that way and not randomly. Pasuk says, "Ki biyom hazeh yechaper aleichem," this day, Yom Kippur, I'll mechaper on you. Let the hair askem mikol chatoseichem lifnei Hashem tisaru. Well, from all your sins in front of Hashem titaru. So Chazal learn out that it's in front of Hashem, meaning those sins bein adam lamachom Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he is mechaper for us on Yom Kippur. But averus shebein adam lachavero, it's not so simple, not automatic. Yom Kippur is not mechaper just like that until a person asks forgiveness from his friend. Achiratzes chavero, more in Yomer. So the Bali Musar explained that the severity of mitzvahs of averus ben adam lachavero, they likened it to somebody who puts his hand in fire. He says when you deal improperly with your fellow man, it's like putting your hand in fire, meaning there's no nafgamina whether you intend, you didn't intend, I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, whatever, it doesn't matter. What happens if you accidentally, without meaning, you put your hand in the fire? But you didn't mean to, right? So nothing's going to happen, you're not going to get burnt, right? Because you didn't mean to put your, of course not, put your hand in the fire, you didn't mean it, you're, it doesn't matter. You get burnt, put your hand in the fire. The Mela, they say, when a person deals with his fellow man in a way with his feelings, etc., it's like putting your hand in fire, meaning it's not just a punishment, it's an automatic result that you're going to get hurt from it. That not just as a punishment. So we'll see. One classic example we have from Tanakh, right? We have Penina and Chana, right? The co-wives. Penina had children, Chana had no children. So what did Penina do? She wanted to make sure Chana, she felt bad for Chana. She wanted her to have children. So what did she do? She started annoying her and saying things, making fun of her, whatever, so that she'll feel really bad because of her matzav, and she'll daven really hard to Chodesh Baruch Hu, and so Hashem should answer her tefillas. So she did it, L'shem Shemayim. She hurt her feelings, but so that she'll, daven really strongly to Hashem, so she would have a child. Totally altruistic. But what happens? She was punished severely for that. Right? Midrash tells us that every child that Chana had, Penina buried too. Terrible punishment. Why? Again, if it was punishment, she shouldn't have been punished. She didn't do anything wrong. She did L'shem Shemayim. Like we said, when you hurt somebody, that's putting your hand in fire. You have great intent, you really wanted that, whatever it is, but you put your hand in your fire, you get burnt. She hurt Chana, she gets burnt, right? With all the great intent. See another classic example, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz brings from the Gemara, that there was a more Rav Rahumi, and he used to go and learn away from his house for a whole year. And used to come home only once a year on Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, and then go back. So every Erev Yom Kippur, you can imagine, his wife, is waiting, oh, finally coming home after a year, And one Erev Yom Kippur, says the Gemara, Rav Ruchumi's wife was waiting and say, okay, you should be here any minute. And another minute goes by, another minute. And she's waiting, and he's not coming home. Why? Because he was so engrossed in his learning, that Erev Yom Kippur, he just lost track of time, and he forgot to go home. So his wife was waiting. It was almost, you know, almost Yom Kippur. So he's not coming. She was so upset, she started to cry. And because she cried, says the Gemara, where Rav Rechumi was sitting, collapsed, and he was killed. Okay? So, says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, same idea. What happened? Rav Rechumi heard his wife's feelings, right? She heard her, right? Because she wanted waiting for him, he didn't come home. What happened? He was punished. Did he intend to hurt her feelings? Of course not. But he just lost track of time. No, but again, put your hand in fire, you get burnt. He hurt his wife without any intent at all, but he hurt somebody, you get burnt. And here, very severely, he was killed. And not only that, he says, we could see it's not a punishment. Why? Because if his wife was crying because he, you know, didn't show up, how much do you think she cried when she found out he died? So, okay, you know, okay, we're going to punish him. Because, poor lady, you know, she, husband didn't come. Okay, so we're going to kill him. No, now she's going to be happy. Now her husband's dead. She was crying when he came late. So we see that nothing to do with it. Not a punishment. Because a punishment, you don't punish him like that when you're going to hurt the wife even more. But it's not a punishment. It says you're putting your hand in fire. See an example of caring for others. So the story with the Chafetz Chaim, and that just this happened during the time of the First World War, that the Chafetz Chaim was in a certain town for Sukkot, and as it happened, you know, because of the war, the whole town, they couldn't get a set of Arba Minim for Sukkot, not one set, no, finished. So the Chag came in or whatever. And then, on one of the days of Chol HaMoed, all of a sudden, miraculously, somebody was able to get their hands on a set of Arba Minim. Okay, middle of Sukkot. So, everybody was ecstatic, and they all, of course, decided, Pe'echad, unanimously, that who are we gonna give this set to make the bracha on, to shake during Hallel? Of course, the Chafetz Chaim, the Tzadik Gador, right? So, they presented him with the set, you know, of course, you. So happy, you know, fine. Thought he was going to go through the sukkah without saying a bracha on the Arba Minim. So they gave him the set, and as the minhag was and is in some places, that they make the bracha on the Arba Minim just before Hallel. Right? So shul is packed, lots of people, hundreds of people, and the Chafetz Chaim's there, and in front of him is the lulav and esrog, etc. The chazan arrives at Hallel, you know, to the Berachas Hallel, so he stops, and all eyes turn to the Chafetz Chaim, as they watch him, you know, make Mevarech on the Arba Minim, and he's not budging, he's not picking up the Lula, not the Esrog, nothing. But he's waiting, he's looking at him, nothing. Until he motions to the Chazan to continue davening. So what? Yes, continue davening, fine, okay. Listen to the Chafetz Chaim. So he continues davening, says Hallel, whatever, finishes the whole davening, the whole time doesn't pick up the Lulav and Esrog. So afterwards, they asked the Chafetz Chaim, what's going on? You know, are we sure you have an opportunity, it's fine, but Arba Minim, and you, what? So he says, listen, I made the following cheshbon. Okay, I thought to myself, you know, Why me? Right? I should make the. Who am I that I should make the bracha and I should hold the arba? Why me? Now everybody in this can't do. There's too many people here. You know, start passing around this thing to everybody. It's not shayach. Okay. So what? I should do it. Why am I better than anyone else? So Elamai wouldn't say, okay. So you don't have to do it yourself. You can do it, and a few other people around, you know, quickly can do it over there. He says, but why these people and not other people? I was afraid if I'm going to choose these people to give it to, then somebody might be upset at me. And like we said, if somebody gets upset at me, that's like putting my hand in fire, right? I didn't want that. He says, hurting a person's feelings, that's derisa. Shaking the lulav on Chol HaMoed, that's derabana. Says, so as much as I would have liked to shake the lulav in Esrog, that's a rabbanan. Hurting a person's feelings, that's the race. If I decided, stay away from it. Okay. We recite the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachamuchanu, a number of times during this whole Tkufa and on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Kol Zman SheYisrael Chotim, Yasu Lefanai Kaseder Hazeh, V'ani Mochel Lechem. Unbelievable. Anytime, the Gemara says, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime Klal Yisrael sin, here's the Yugi will meet us, and they'll be forgiven. Amar Rav Yehuda, Bris Krusel Yugi will meet us, Sheinu Chozrot Rekam. And not only that, it's not only a maybe, but for sure they're going to be forgiven. It's a bris that they don't go empty-handed. You say the Yud Gimel Midos, you're answered. It doesn't go back unanswered. And in fact, some people even have a minug or whatever, that when they have a bakasha, they ask for it during the Yud Gimel Midos because of this chazal. Because then they don't go back empty-handed. Right, so you say Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem answers. So it's an opportune time to chaperein and ask for something. However, the question is asked, but is it true? Right? Well, we've said and we are going to say, oh, Yud Gimel Midos many, many times. And what? That's it? Hashem forgives us, everything's good. Unfortunately, it's not always so good. So many of the Mefarshim, Reish Chachma is one of them. He says, you have to be medayik in the lashon of the Chazal over here. It doesn't say if im Klal Yisrael im yomru, if they'll say this seder of Yugidim, they'll be answered, they'll be forgiven. But the lashon is again, Amar lo Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe kol zman Yisrael chotin yaasu lefanai kaseder hazeh. What does yaasu mean? They should do this seder. What do you mean do this seder? Hashem, what do you mean do? So they explain. It's not just saying these things, right? You have to do them. Meaning, as Chazal tells us, you have to emulate a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah, we say Hashem is Kel Rachum, He's Rachum. Chazal say, Mahu Rachum, Afatate Rachum. It's not enough to say, yeah, okay, Hashem is Rachum. Hashem wants us to act like that. We should copy Him. Hashem is a Rachum, we have to be a Rachum. So it's not just saying the words that Hashem forgives us or doesn't go back empty-handed. It's we do these things. If we act like Hashem and we are Rachum, we are Chanun, then it doesn't go back empty-handed. Chavetz Chaim in the following mashal, he says there was once a rich guy who owned a number of factories, etc. And he had a nephew who just got married, whatever, needed a parnasa. So he approached his rich uncle and he said, I think you can find me a job in your whole empire over here. So as the uncle said, as a matter of fact, I have a job opening and I think you'll, be good. So what is it? So he says, I own a number of factories and things, and they need somebody to watch over them, make sure people are doing their job, and mefakeach, as they call it in Hebrew. So he says, hey, I'll tell you what, you do the job, of watching over everybody, I'll pay you 50 rubles a month. So he said, 50 rubles? Wow, that's a lot of money. So he says, okay, here, let's sit down, and he starts writing out from a whole instruction sheet, right? You go to factory number one, check out this room, check out these people, that. Then you go to the second one, it's located in this area, do this, blah, blah, blah. And he writes on a whole list of things, where to go and who to see, and the whole list. He hands it to his nephew and he says, okay, I'll check back with you at the end of the month, see how everything went, and then you'll get your paycheck. So he's all happy, whatever. He comes back at the end of the month. And the uncle says, no, so what do you have to say? Report, please. So he says, okay, watch this, uncle. Clears his throat, and he says, go to first factory, and then check out this room, that room, then you go to second factory, and you go there, then you go to this place, and you go to that, blah, blah, blah. And he says the whole instruction sheet, ball pat, fluently from beginning to end. He says, oh, how do you like that? So he says, okay, very nice, but like, what happened in these places? What do you mean? Well, these factories, I told you, you said the whole list very nice, but what happened in these places? He says, well, I didn't go to them. You didn't go? Well, what are you doing those things? I was memorizing the construction sheet, saying that I can say it nice and fluid. So he says, what? You think I'm paying you 50 rubles a month so you say the instruction sheet? He says, I want you to go check these places out. So too, says the Chavetz Chaim, very nice, Yud Gimel Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Karakum, Mekanu, blah, blah. Hashem says, I don't want you to say these things. I want you to emulate me. I want you to do. Ma'ahu rachum, ma'ateh, ta'ateh rachum. I just say it. Very nice, you can say it. I have to do it. a cute vort from Yisrael Mi Vizhnitz. That's an interesting question. He says that one of the Yud Gimel Minos of Rachamim is Emes, right? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rahm Chanut, Erech Hapayim, V'Rav Chesed, V'Emes. Emes. So he says, ask, why is Emes a Midah of Rachamim? What is Emes? Emes is exacting. Emes, what's it? Exactly what way it is, the truth. He says, that's not Rachamim, that's Din. So why is it included in the Yud Gimel Minos of Rachamim? Emes. So he says the following. He says, some people that they pretend, they fool themselves to think that they're tzaddikim. Right? It's, oh yeah, big tzaddik, yeah. Right? They pretend that they're tzaddikim. Now, the Gemara says that how's Hashem act with tzaddikim? He's medaktek with tzaddikim rachut asara. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, look, if you say you're a tzaddik, fine. You want to pretend, you want to say you're a tzaddik. So I could act with you like I act with tzaddikim. But you're going to pay dearly because I'm a tzaddik with tzaddikim with chut asara. So what does Hashem say? He says, you know what? No. You're acting like a tzaddik. I'm not going to treat you like the way you're pretending, you know, to be a tzaddik. I'm not going to treat you like that because that's going to be too hard on you. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have rachmanis on you. I'm going to treat you to the fili emes, which is that you're not a tzaddik. So then I won't have to be a doctic with you. So he says, so we see from here, sometimes the emes could be midas arachamim. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't treat the person like he's acting, like pretending to be a tzaddik, but treats him the way he really is. That's rachmanis. The bracha, the main bracha that we say in the Shemona Asrei, long bracha at the end of the middle bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, etc., Melech Mochel V'Soleach Lavonoseinu, etc., Umavi Ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana, he takes away our sins each year, etc. So the Kadosh Mirapshitz, he says the following mashal. He says, there is a father and he had a beautiful apple in his hand. But he had one problem. There were two kids, two of his sons in front of him. They both very much wanted the apple. You know, Reuben says, I want the apple. Shimon says, I want the apple. I want the apple. And he didn't know who to give the apple to. So finally, Reuven has a bright idea, and he says, Abba! He says, yes, Reuven, what would you like besides the apple? He says, Abba! Baruch atah Hashem, lekeinu melech haolam, boy, praise! So the father says, what? Bracha? Oh, here, take the apple, take a bite, quick! You know, don't bracha levatala. So, says the Kadosh Mirupshin, so too over here, right? We say this bracha in order that Hashem should help us. Why? Because we want Hashem to forgive us for our sins. How do we do that? So we have a bright idea, he says. We make a bracha out of it. Right? Baruch atah Hashem, elokeinu adid Hashem, you're mavir ashmoseinu, you take care of our ashma, b'chol shana v'shana. So we just made a bracha that you cleanse us from our sins. You don't want it to be a bracha levatala, do you? It's a way of us forcing a Kadosh Baruch Hu to forgive us for our sins. Seder and Avodas Kohen Gadol, we find in our Musaf davening, and one thing we say that when the we describe how the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood of the seer and the par, and it says he sprinkles achas lamala v'sheva lamata. Okay, so try this. He holds his finger up in one when he sprinkles the first time, and then he holds his finger downwards and he does seven times. One up, seven down. So the Rama explains, Pidrash, right, what's the hint over here. He says that the Gemara said that in Sukkah that the Yetzer Hara has seven names. Okay? Meaning that the Yetzer Hara tries to make a person sin. And there's seven different names. I mean, try seven different ways. Tries once, doesn't work. The second name comes, tries third name, four, until all seven. But when it comes to the Yetzer Tov, there's not seven names, just one. Yetzer Tov. Two names. Yetzer Tov. No. It says one name. So, it says there's a hint over here by the way the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood. He does Zachat Lamala, Mesheva Lamata. Why? Achas Lamala means referring to the Yetzer Tov. That he just has one name, Achas. And he pushes us Lamala, to Ruchnias, to Lamala. The Yetzer Hara is Sheva Lamata. He has seven names and he pushes us one after the other down. Sheva Lamata. So what we're saying is, we're asking Kodesh Baruch Hu to have pity on us. We're saying, look Hashem, it's not fair. We only have Achaz Lamala. There's a Yetzer Tov, only one. Push, push, and works, it doesn't work. That's it. But the Yetzer Hara, Sheva Lamata. Come on, give us a break. We have seven forces pushing us down. Only one pushing us to the Rukhni. Seven pushing us down to Gashmi. It's Lamata. So come on, help us out. It's not our fault. Help us. I was thinking, it's a little addition to this. You can take it whatever it's worth. But it's interesting because the Lashon, Mishnah brings down, we say it in Musaf, that when he would sprinkle, he would say the following, Achas. That was when he sprinkled on upwards. And then, Achas ve'achas, Achas ve'shtaim, Achas ve'shalosh. He would repeat the word Achas by each of the ones when we sprinkled down. So the explanation is because he shouldn't get mixed up. If he said Achas and then Achas ve'shtaim, when he says Achas, he might forget whether he did the first one or not. So therefore he knows Achas. If all he said Achas, he knows that was the one he sprinkled up. And Achas, this is the one down, is Achas ve'shtaim. So he knows for sure, if he said only the word Achas, it was the one up. And if he said Achas v'shtayim, you know he already started on the bottom ones, and he continued Achas v'shtayim, shalosh, etc. So, based on this Ramah, thinking that, what are we also being Maramas over here? That even though the Yetzer Hara tries to get us, you know, one after the other, seven times, but we bring in the Achas with each one. Achas v'achas, Achas v'shtayim, Achas v'shtayim. Wherever there's a Yetzer Hara, we try our best that we should be more of what the Yetzer Tov as well. Try to chop and try to balance the Yetzer Hara with the Yetzer Tov whenever possible. At the end of the services of Yom Kippurim is, of course, the Nila. It's a nice mashal from the Magid Miluvlin. He says how we have to look at Nila when we go into Nila, Bezrat Hashem, a few days. He says there was once a hunter and he got lost in the forest. And you know, his way out, he was stuck in there. And all of a sudden, you know, it's quiet, it's getting dark, and you know, it's getting very scary. He's all alone. And he doesn't know, you know, it's like in the middle of the forest, he doesn't know what can be there. And all of a sudden, he hears some rustling, like in the woods, some leaves or whatever, and he goes, uh-oh, could be some wild animal. So he takes out an arrow, and he shoots it in the direction of where the sound was, and he doesn't hear anything, he just shoots the arrow. So he carefully goes closer to that area, and he doesn't see anything. So he thought, it must be the wind, just like, you know, blew the leaves over there, whatever made a sound. Okay. So he's walking a little bit more. Again, he hears a sound. He goes, oh, takes out his arrow, shoots an arrow. Again, he doesn't see anything. He says, oh, I guess it was the wind again. And this happens again and again. Finally, he, you know, puts his hand in his pouch where he keeps his arrows. He notices that he has only one arrow left. That's it. He's down to his last arrow. He goes, uh-oh. I hope, you know, nothing happens now. And then, what does he hear? A roar of a lion. So he's like, uh-oh, that was a roar of a lion. That wasn't no wind. So he sees it as, that's it, he's one arrow. So this arrow, it's gotta work. It's life's at stake. It's gotta work. So Mela says, the Magid Miluvlin, that's how we have to approach Nila. Right, since Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're trying this, we're trying that, we're begging Hashem, forgive us, but you don't know, maybe we missed our mark, maybe we missed our target. Right, then we didn't do it. So then comes Nila. That's it. It's your last arrow. And down to the end, your last fila, after all these 40 days of our avoda, of working hard and slichus and everything, come down to the last fila, that's the end of the day, and that's it. Your last arrow. So just like in the mashal, the last arrow is, you gotta make it work, aim, you know, push, pull back on it with all your might, because it's gotta work. It's your last chance. So too, that's how we have to approach the tefillah of Ne'ilah. This is it. We've got to make it work. What was. Now, it's not like, hopefully. No. You got to do it. Pull back and make it work. So I can end with one last thing going into Motzi Yom Kippur now. There's Rav David Bleicher says the following beautiful marshal. He says, there was once a guy that he committed an offense, and he was judged. He had to be thrown. He was thrown into jail. However, when they threw him into this prison cell, he wasn't allowed, able to go home first to take some change of clothes with him. So he had this one thing he was wearing, and that's how he was thrown into the jail with, and they didn't give him any clothing. So, okay, it wasn't so bad the first couple of days, but then it starts smelling, and then it starts getting dirty, and it starts getting ripped, and then it starts getting all these mites, and the lice, and the thing, and it's disgusting, and he can't take it anymore. He's scratching his body, and bleeding it from all his clothes are driving him crazy. So, nothing he can do. He's stuck with these dirty, filthy, infested clothing. Finally, one day, the guard comes out and he says, "Well, I have good news for you." "What?" "We're letting you out for an hour or so. We're taking you to the stream, to the water. You can bathe. And not only that, here's a fresh set of clothing. Brand new clothing." He's like, "Oh, you made my day. This is unbelievable." So they take him out, hand him the clothing, they walk to the stream, and they said, "Okay, here we'll give you whatever, 20 minutes, and fine." So he's so excited, puts down the new clothing, takes off his infested clothing, throws him down, dives into the water with his shampoo and his soap, and scrubbing. Oh, he's feeling great. However, he was so involved with his bath that he didn't realize that on the shore was walking a guy that was not so on the up and up, and he sees this nice new folded clothing over there. He says, So he quickly grabs the new clothing and runs away, steals the new clothing. So now finally the guy's, after a nice bath, he gets up, he goes, gets out of the water, get dressed in his nice new clothing. No new clothing. Looks, where to go? What happened? See, they were stolen. So what does he have to do? He has to put on those gross, disgusting, dirty clothing. That's all he had. He had to put them back on again. Says the Nimshel, so too. He says, throughout the whole year, we get filthy, dirty with all our sins. Along comes Yom Kippur. Finally, the bath. We scrub, we get it. That's it, we come out clean. He says, okay, we've come out clean. You want to put on the dirty clothing again? Okay, you're clean. You're kipper. At least now, put on your clean clothing. Right? Don't put out the disgusting, dirty clothing that you had until now. So, with Hashem, we should all be zoiche to Gmar Chasima Tova. Hashem should, in fact, forgive us for all our sins, come out clean. We should continue on the path of cleanliness and keep on our nice, clean clothing. Meshach HaShana Ba. We should also be zoiche to be Nechtam and Sefer of tzaddikim, and yotzi to be al niske to greet the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah v'yameinu.